I think this is the battleground culture issue in America today.
How is it that we can trust an organization for whom abortion is such an important part of their business model to simultaneously effectively prevent pregnancy and prevent abortion?
The problem in America today is that people simply change the topic.
The key to successfully talking about abortion is to try to bring the conversation back to one key question.
When you're an obstetrician gynecologist and you're pro-choice, you have to decide whether you're actually going to do those abortions.
I believe that being pro-life is the most progressive value that we can have.
The abortion industry is most threatened by Christians engaging in pro-life work.
Finding that pregnancy center was the only person I had to support me at that time.
She's got to know when she takes that pregnancy test that her church is not going to treat her like the Pharisees tried to treat the woman caught in adultery.
As a church, we can't just vote pro-life. We have to be pro-love.
Good evening and welcome to Eternal Affairs Media for May the 7th, 2022. We have a very special guest today on The Matter of Life, the film that's coming out in theaters May 16th, 17th. Just a wonderful film. Everybody should see this, designed for people that have not experienced or understand the ramifications of abortion, and it helps to bring people in to become more pro-life and understand why you should not have abortions. It's a wonderful person, Tracy Robinson. With no further ado, you can introduce further yourself and explain what your film is all about. Thank you for joining Eternal Affairs Media.
Thank you for having me. So I am the director of this film called The Matter of Life. And like you said, it's coming to theaters nationwide Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and May 17th. You can grab tickets and learn more at matteroflife.org, shameless plug there. Yeah. But it's a film that clarifies the abortion issue. And I really wanted to make a compelling movie about this, a compelling documentary that breaks it down for people, that unravels the issue and the nuance for people. And we come at it from the science of embryology. We explore the history of how we got to this point in our society. And we also discover some amazing things happening in the pro-life movement. And there's just powerful personal stories as well, testimonies. So we weave those all together into hopefully a very compelling and edifying experience for people.
And I guess the question is the film designed for people that have these crazy nuts that say, you know, it's my body, my choice, which we try. And that's another quick thing I want to ask you about. Maybe you address that in your film. Or is it addressed at everybody that has any interest in the unborn to begin with?
Well, it's a perfect film for people that don't really have their worldview shaped on this issue. Maybe they're on the fence. Maybe they've grown up in church all their life, knowing they should be pro-life, but don't really know why exactly, other than, you know, God values life. But maybe they don't know how to argue their point of view. But this film is really for everybody. I've gotten a lot of feedback through a lot of pre-screenings we've had so far, and the attitude has just been thankfulness, and people are grateful. Even people that have been working in pro-life ministry or doing pro-life work for many years say that they've been re-inspired, and they have this renewed vigor. So it's really for people, but ideally I wanted to make a film that targeted people that were in my shoes, who were in the mushy middle, so to speak. When I first heard about, before I learned the basic pro-life case, I was a Christian in my late 20s who just thought, well, I'd personally never have an abortion, but who am I to enforce my beliefs onto others? And, you know, women have these circumstances and there's all kinds of problems and nuance. And I could never imagine a world where abortion was illegal. That just didn't sound right. So that was where I was coming from. You know, I went through public school. I became a Christian, you know, out of the last year of college. So I was in a liberal environment my whole life. And I did go to church my whole life and church camp. And I didn't even hear about the abortion issue in churches. And my parents didn't broach the topic either. So I was sort of influenced and informed by the culture and by just secular society. So, but I've been in film and video production all my career, and primarily as a video editor and in the documentary space, just editing documentaries. And I was doing work on and off. I was commissioned on and off to do some promotional videos for a pregnancy resource center in Ventura, California. And I had never heard of a pregnancy center before that. And I was inspired by what they were doing to help women in their times of crisis. But still I was in that mushy middle. And it wasn't until my friends at the pregnancy center invited me to an apologetics conference, and the topic was going to be the case against abortion. And so I thought, well, I'll go and check it out and see what my pro-life friends are talking about. And so in less than 2 hours, the speaker, Alan Schliemann, gave a clear, concise message, an argument for the full humanity of the unborn child from the moment of conception. And at one point he invited us to look at abortion imagery, like images of babies lost to abortion. And the truth just really struck me. And so I was pretty much downloaded, so to speak, with this vision that this needed to be a documentary film. But I had no idea about Roe v. Wade or the truth behind Planned Parenthood or any of that. I wanted to know how we got to this point of such contention. So research began from there.
And a really great mission. I'm going to ask you some questions. We didn't approach this in the pre-show, so to speak. So I'm going to kind of throw this on you. But now I am not a Christian minister. I have my own church. I had it for many years. We meet in a garage or in somebody's house, and we meet every Sunday. And I am 100% pro-life from conception. I'm also a scientist and an engineer by trade. So you've got a scientist and a minister that agree. The scientists agree that life begins at conception. All Christians should believe that life begins at conception. There's no doubt about it. And when I read about, you know, the Jews, a lot of times will say, oh, it's not until the first breath of life when they come out of the body that they're human. This is what they believe in. This is what the Torah says. But the question is the breath of life the creation at conception? Which I believe it is. I believe that it was mistranslated in the English down later on and in the late Hebrew. But that's beside the point. The whole point that I'm looking at right now is you see these people coming out and saying, you know, my body, my choice. You know, and there's so much, and they torqued me over with this whole pandemic thing about saying, oh, you've got to get the shot. A little bit different because you can make someone else sick with that. You're not going to make someone else sick with an abortion. So I understand the difference to be there. But my body, my choice. And I'll look at these women and I'll say, yes, you're absolutely right. Go jump off a cliff. Go drink a bottle of vodka and kill yourself. Go run in your car into a tree. I don't care, as long as there's not a baby in your body, because that's not your body. That's the way I approach that. How do you get these people or does your film maybe even help to get these people to understand what really is going on, that really is a human being in there from conception? How do you approach that?
Yes, absolutely. That is one thing I wanted to do, was to address the topic of is it her body, you know, her body and her choice. That is a common concern that people have. It's understandable that they have that concern. They hear it all the time. And we uncover that, we unwrap that nuance as well. And we pose the question to people, is it really her body or is it someone else's body? that is involved. And so, people are invited to really think about it from the truth perspective. We don't hammer people over the head with the information. We just invite them to actually think about it truthfully and honestly. And I think that's what's missing in our conversations, in our culture. And so the Matter of Life is a wonderful tool. It's just a plug and play experience where you can just learn about abortion without neglecting all these really common concerns that people have, like what about her circumstances, and what if she's raped? We go into that topic. And so it's just I wanted it to be an educational but also compelling.
And one of the other things that you mentioned, and it's that 4 in 10 of the people that have women that have abortions were churchgoers. How do you address the issue of the church being the problem, with the church supporting all these hedonistic activities and you know, allowing a president of the United States that agrees with abortion to get his communion and not you know, chastise him for that? I mean, it's at the highest possible levels in a church. How do we address that?
Well, an epiphany that I had midway through production of this film was just how much this film was being made, the purpose behind making the film in the first place. It just really dawned on me, and I felt the walls caving in. It was just a real realization. My target audience was always Christians, because I knew those were the people that were gonna show up and watch it, who'd be interested. But I never realized just how dire the need this film was for the Christian community, particularly the Protestants. When I learned the statistic that 4 out of 10 women with an abortion in their past were attending church in the month they became pregnant, that was just a game changer for me. And I was interviewing Rollin Warren, who's a CEO of CareNet, a pregnancy help organization. He was saying, we need to overturn Roe v. Wade in our own pews. You know, this is an issue for us as Christians. And I just couldn't agree more. And later, not too far after that, I learned just how content or how complacent the American church, most American church denominations are in the United States on abortion. I read the book by Brian Fisher called Deliver Us from Abortion, and he did a study on the attitude of church on this issue. And well over half of major Christian, Protestant Christian denominations in the United States are pro-choice in that they're completely silent on abortion. They have no stance. They never talk about it. They're never going to go there. Or they actually make exceptions publicly for abortion. And so it's no wonder you have the 4 in 10 women in church getting abortions. Nobody's talking about it. It's hush hush, and it's secret. And you have young girls that don't know any better because nobody's told them. And then you have a bunch of a lot of women and even men who've been affected by abortion in the church that are hurting. And so pastors feel like they don't want to talk about it then too, because there's so many people that are sensitive to it. So, I think that's a result of the church not being on the offense of people's worldview on this issue in church. Understandably, I mean, their mission is not to talk about politics. Unfortunately, abortion is a political issue now. It shouldn't be, but it is. Their mission is to preach the gospel and win people to Jesus, and that's amazing. But we have this amazing opportunity with the abortion issue, the abortion crisis in our country, to love our congregations 40% more. With just the healing ministry, the amount of healing that could take place when people start to face that pain in their life and heal from it, and then also rescuing people's sons and daughters from abortion. Christ rescued us when we couldn't rescue ourselves. He saved our lives when we couldn't save our own. And so abortion, anti-abortion, it's a opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
And I saw a really good, there was a a gathering of sorts, I guess, about this Roe v. Wade. And it's a whole bunch of doctors and they're all blacks that were talking about the issues and, you know, it's in a black area. And this black fellow came in, he was one of the ministers, and he came in and he started talking to him. I said, well, do you believe that it's an issue with, you know, black cops being killed by whatever and black people being killed? And then he asked about black people, all the blacks that were killed in the womb, and the whole place went silent, like, well, that's a different story. And it's one of those things where I'm kind of going to go into another issue as a politician, I guess you would say. One of the things that I come up with is, or I'm always asked about, is why don't we make this, you know, constitutional or set a legal precedence rather than just a Supreme Court precedence, like they're trying to do now, like the liberals are trying to do in Congress, to override that if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, they'll have a legislative decision, which won't happen, obviously, unless they kill a filibuster. But the problem is that they don't realize that if they can do that, then the conservatives can do the same thing in the opposite. I've always said that what we need, and just an opinion on this, and I don't know if you address it at all, but you know, we need two things. We need a definition of what a human is. That should be a legal definition. That should actually be part of the Constitution, because in the early days of the United States, blacks weren't considered people and women were considered useless. I mean, and we've changed that. It's a different attitude. But if at the beginning, and they did address this in their discussions while they were building up the Constitution and Bill of Rights, they were actually discussed what they can do about the black issue and how they can, you know, keep females in, you know, pregnant and barefoot, etc. And they actually, they were the ones with great morality, and they were the ones that didn't have it, and they fought and said, let's leave it out and let it morph over time as the morals change. And it's kind of long-winded. I want you to have the highlight here, but the question is, do you think that if there was a legal definition or like a SCOTUS definition or something of what life is, number one? And one of the things that I get hit with a lot, I say we should have an equal rights amendment, not just for women, but for all people. So equal rights if you're human. It doesn't matter if you're straight, gay, what, black, white, doesn't matter who you are, you're human. You should still have equal rights. But it's never been defined in the Constitution because, again, the founders were obviously, you know, bigoted, and they were misogynistic, etc. And you can't deny that by the very words that they get that they used. How would you address that? What would be the best way to address that, to lock that in so you can't come back legally and say this is not a baby? I'll throw it to you.
Well, that is something that the documentary unravels as well, is how it became legal. And the legality of abortion really affects our morality. We just assume that because things are legal, that they're morally okay. And that's not the case with abortion. Yeah, in Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court didn't bother determining when a human life begins. They decided to just throw in the towel on that argument and just decide we don't have to figure that out, which is extremely irresponsible on the court. It was a very activist decision. It was just, as one of the dissenting justices says, it was a wave of the judicial wand, Roe v. Wade decision, to decriminalize abortion across all 50 states. It was just a unprecedented decision, which was not really big in the news at the time. But the problem with Roe v. Wade is that it's very similar to Jim Crow, and in that it discriminates against a human being of a certain size and age and location inside their mother's womb. You know, it deems them not persons according to the law. In the case of abortion, that is, if a pregnant mother gets into a car accident and dies, that is counted as two deaths if she's pregnant. If it's a homicide, that's two counts of murder. But in the case of abortion, it's not. So they use the loophole. They use the 14th Amendment as their loophole, giving her the right to privacy. And but ultimately, it was a very irresponsible decision that did not look at the science. I mean, the ultrasound machine was not available to the public at that time. It wasn't as obvious as it is to people now, seeing the heartbeat and just the movement in the womb and the shape of the baby back then. So they got away with this, and it's more scandalous than people realize, and so I wanted to bring that to light.
Thank you for that clarification, and we're definitely on the same page with that. And you know, I look at it, the 14th Amendment, it is so, whoever put that in there, it should never have gone through. Because if you do that, you could say that that murderer that went in the house and, you know, killed four people or whatever, he could use the same 14th Amendment to say he's not guilty of murder, because you can't look into it, because that's my right to privacy. And if you don't prove that's the problem with the definition of life. And when you approach the conservatives and the Republican Party in particular, they refuse to put in that definition, because that definition means that, oh, all of a sudden, people that they don't like, leftist people that have certain beliefs that they don't like, are going to become equal to everybody else. And I've seen that, and it's just terrible. I don't know how to bring the left and the right together, and bring the church has gone the same way, which is unfortunate. They've basically said that we don't want any kind of equal rights, because of that. And unless you make everybody equal, unless you have it in law, you're not going to be able to enforce, I don't think, an anti-abortion, a pro-life movement. But do you address that at all in your film, that the legality of the sanctity of life, and when life begins, and how to lock that in legally?
We don't really talk about the solution, other than people need to legislate. They need to petition at their the state and local levels. They need to push back against Roe v. Wade, which we are seeing now. It's on the brink of possible overturning, hopefully. Abortion is not constitutional. It's really not. If you come to the court and you point out the science, you can do a lot of damage to that abortion law and your loose abortion law in your state. It really has to start at the state level. It has to start in your community. You know, that's really the most power that we have as citizens, is to advocate, because, like I said, abortion is not constitutional. A lot of people would like to think it is, but that's just bogus. It's just not. So, when we look at the science, it's just, there's no question. It's a human being deserving of protection and deserving of rights.
Right. And that's exactly why Roe v. Wade needs to be overturned, because Roe v. Wade was going to overturn any of these state decisions people make unless you can get rid of it, because then they're going to revert back to Roe v. Wade. That is not.
Yeah. And I think a misconception is that abortion is going to be illegal across the United States. And that's why maybe a lot of people are more outraged than we expected. But California, my state, is on track to becoming a sanctuary state for abortions. For instance, they're planning on flying girls out for free from other states that are restricting abortion, flying them out, putting them up in hotels, and giving them free abortions. And so we saw with Texas that when you restricted abortions there, the neighboring state abortion rate goes up. So it's not over after we overturn Roe v. Wade. We have to be on the front lines. We have to be connecting those girls with resources. The church needs to be aware of resources in their community. The church needs to be a place of respite and help. So there's, you know, the fight is still going on.
And it hurts the most. It affects the most the poor, the blacks, and the poor in the inner city. Who won't be able to leave the state, and the rich people will still be able to leave the state. They won't care what the laws are. So it's, you know, one of those things is it's got to be shut down, like you say, at the state level. But we need to hope and pray that this Roe v. Wade is overturned, and that any attempt. I think one of the reasons they brought this out right now that they leaked this Supreme Court mission that they have, that they're going to vote on this thing. I think they leaked it out intentionally so they could try to put something through before the 2022 midterm elections. And I hope, you know, there's a huge Here, the way I put it is, there's a lot of loud mouths out there. All we have to do is bring the people that are quiet up and bring their mouth out, because I think there's more of us than there are of them, but they just have a bigger mouth. I don't know how you feel about that. It's probably, I know that's not in your movie, but I'm just curious if you think the percentage, because you look at it and say, 70% of people say we should keep Roe v. Wade, and I honestly don't believe that. I think they're cooking the numbers. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I think that it's really hard to determine, you know, from polls that you hear on mainstream media, what's true and what's not. I try not to look at all the little peripheral and side issues and just all he said, she said mm-hmm. stuff. I'm with this movie. I want to bring people back to the most central part of the argument and the most important question to bring up, and that is, what is the unborn? What are preborn children? What are they? Are they clumps of cells? Like, it doesn't look like that when you see the facts. And so I really wanted to quiet all the hysteria and all the nuance and bring it back to the main issue. Once you humanize the unborn child, it really melts away a lot of other arguments. And when you see a strong pro-choice argument or pro-abortion choice argument, I should say, it's usually not humanizing the unborn. It's neglecting entirely the rights of that child, the rights of that person. You know, we all began at this size. You know, we all started in the same place. And half of abortion or half of pregnancies are women. What about the rights of the unborn women in their mother's womb? So there's a lot of ways you can argue, but the most important point is to bring it back to the humanity of the child. Oh, I don't hear you.
You truly, oh, sorry about that. You truly are okay. You okay?
Yeah.
My mute didn't unmute. You truly are on a mission from God, and God bless you in your mission. Can you close up in 2 minutes and just give a brief synopsis of the film and where it might be playing, or how you would find out where it's playing, and give a quick close on that, so we can end our wonderful conversation before Zoom ends us.
Sure. Well, it's called The Matter of Life, and it's coming to theaters nationwide May 16th and 17th. Through Fathom Events, and you can go to matteroflife.org and get your tickets there.
Fantastic. Keep up the good work. You're always welcome back once this thing comes out, and let's see what the reactions are. Let's see what maybe the critics will come out. Who knows who will see this thing. I think it's going to be wonderful. I'm definitely going to go see the full film when it comes out. And again, from what I see of the clips, it was just absolutely great and fantastic. Like I said, a true mission from God. And I send my prayers out to you for a wonderful mission. And at this point, I'm going to actually add that this again is brought to you. I'm losing my voice. I don't know what's happening. It's one of those seasons for the people with allergies. It's just terrible. My mm-hmm. apologies to my listeners. But anyway, go see the movie. Go check it out. Go look at the website. And I don't think you'll be disappointed. And pass the word on and pray that Roe v. Wade gets overturned. We're going to give a quick close. And if we could say, do you mind if we say a very brief prayer for the unborn?
Please do.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Heavenly Father, bow our heads and we pray. We pray for the lives of the unborn children, black, white, and other, and male, female, of all genders and all nationalities. We pray that your great light and your heart and mind and shines into the mind of those who are disbelievers that a unborn is a human being. It's one of your great gifts. It's the gift of life. It's the gift, only gift we have. It's what we are given. Without life, we don't have sight, we don't have sound, and you, dear Lord, don't have someone to view your great, wonderful creation. So please help us enlighten those who have not enlightened. We pray in your heavenly name. Amen. We will close on that. Tracy Robinson, the matter of life.org. Please visit our website. Go see her film when it comes out. And on a quick musical interlude, we'll terminate the call. And you're always welcome back, Tracy. Understand that. We'd love to have you back, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thanks again.